space. Amen. We talk about being overcomers. We shout it because we have freedom in Jesus' name. And we lifted him high. Amen. This is the God we serve. Amen. So we're going to read our pastor with a hearty praise the Lord.
How many of y'all really overcomers today? How many are overcomers? The word of God said that we are born and overcomers, which means that we can overcome anything. How many know today that we serve a mighty good God? And we just bless the Lord, we thank God for my wife, we thank God for all of you. Most of all, I'm so glad that God is God. Anybody glad God is God? The scripture said that God is not a man, and I'm so glad he's not a man, because man will look at me and misrepresent what I believe. But what I like about God, the Bible said, man looks at the outward appearance. But how many know today God reads our heart? And for that I am so grateful, amen? We're going to ask you to stand for our scripture reading, which will be coming from Genesis, the 12th chapter. Amen. Do we have any people that want? Nevertheless, I thank God for giving me life, health, and strength. Because he gives me life, health, and strength, I'm able to do it. Amen. But there is something in the house of God for all of us to do. Let us turn to Genesis, the 12th chapter. Amen. Now, I was prepared. I got like 5 pages of notes. No God's list. But I didn't get a chance to print them out. So don't think that I came ill-equipped, but I was in the wrong place at the right time. So Genesis 12 chapter, we're going to read verses 1 through 5 together, of Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 5, and then we're going to go on a spiritual journey in the life of Abraham. Amen? Amen. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 reads, now the Lord has said unto Abraham, that if he had said, that he had already said it before. So God is repeating something that he what? Has said. So the Lord has said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them, Lord, thank you. And just name God. And you don't have to worry about things, because people can't curse you if God is with you. If God will bless them, then bless you. And the Lord said, and curse them. Who said he'll do it? God said he'll do it. So just stay in God. Hey, look, somebody say, stay in God. Because you don't have to worry about anything, because God will bless you and he'll hold back the curse. How many know God? If God be for you, who then can be against you? Verse 4 reads, so Abraham departed, as the Lord he had already said, but he still was kind of stuck in a place. Alright? Any of us today, God has spoken to us, but we still stuck in a place. God had said, I wonder if they have God. And you're still in the place where God is trying to move you to another level. Can we say praise the Lord? He said, as he spoke unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abraham took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the soul that they had died in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, oh God, we bless your name today. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be in the house of the Lord. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to worship you in spirit and in truth. And we know your word says that the Father seeketh such to worship him. Those that have a mind to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Lord, we're not here in a form of fashion. Lord, we're not here to propagate or display self. But Lord, we're here today to
But
But how many know God has a plan? And the plan can only be executed if Abram was completely obedient. Now I'm going to give you five things about obedience. Alright? If you might mind me, I preach, but don't you understand? Five things about obedience. Now, you and only you know, are you fully obedient to God or are you partially obedient? Abraham, God bless him, but he only had partial obedience. And we'll find out when we get to the 13th chapter where God fully blesses him. Anybody want a full blessing? I said, yes, if anybody want a full blessing, God won't bless you if you're partially obedient. But we have to serve him with our whole heart, soul, and mind. So, number one, perfect obedience involves obeying God's word out of a pure love without any reservation or second thought. Full of perfect obedience means you fully love God's word. You don't have to learn it. If we were to have an example, you know, you ever have some of those situations, and we all have them because they're perfect periods. Something happened, you said, oh, what am I going to do? If you love God, it should be a second question. We should always obey God. Right? So I'm going to give you a scripture reference for each one of these. And we're going to go to Matthew the 27th chapter, verses 36 through 38. Perfect obedience involves obeying God's word with pure love, without any reservation. Amen. And you know, sometimes you'd be put in one of those situations. You said, I don't know what to do. Always do what's right in God's eyes. Always do what's right in God's eyes. Matthew 22 and 36 reads, this is where the Pharisees and the Sadducees call themselves testing the Lord himself. One of them asked, "Teacher, Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto them, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with what?" Today, do you love God with all your heart, with all of thy soul, and with all thy mind? He said, this is the first and great commandment. So how do you know if I have partial or full obedience? Do you know if you're reluctantly following the Lord? Do you do it with your all? Or do you have some second thoughts? Amen? Number one. Number two, perfect obedience is committing ourselves to consistently obey Jesus out of a deep love for him, regardless of what risks or consequences that may come our way. So when you want to have perfect obedience, you don't count the cost of what may I lose, or what can be taken away from me, or what other consequences are being done right. Perfect obedience said, I want to do what's right before God. And Jesus answered in the 14th chapter of the book of John, in verse 15, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So we see the first two things about obedience is you've got to keep God's word. You've got to honor God's commandment. That shows whether you have perfect obedience or reluctant obedience. And then if you substitute anything for the word of God, that is not perfect obedience. Number three, perfect obedience means obeying and pleasing the Lord first, another second, and then includes yourself. Perfect obedience means obeying God first. Now you know within yourself, hallelujah, who do you please? Do you please God, or do you please yourself, or do you please others? What is standing between you and God and having perfect obedience? And Galatians 1:10 reads, Paul writes, for that do I persuade men or God? We're talking about what obedience? Perfect obedience. And your perfect obedience, who are you trying to please? Men or God? Amen? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I am not the servant of Christ. So today we're dealing with what kind of obedience? Perfect obedience. Perfect obedience is, I don't care what anybody else say about me. I'm going to do what's right in God's eyes. Perfect obedience. Number four, perfect obedience is done out of a love for Jesus and requires a sacrifice on your part. Perfect obedience is done out of out of love for Jesus, and it requires a sacrifice on your part. Paul writes to the church of Rome, Romans 12:1. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable. Now, reasonable is a Greek word, and the Greek word means to do it out of a love for the word of God. That Greek word says your reasonable service is you do it out of a love for God. Well, what that means is you worship God out of a love for His word. That's a sacrifice. Right? So when you're worshiping God out of a love for His word, even if someone said, well, what about this? You said, God is number one in my life. Pleasing God counts more to me than any and everything. Can we say praise the Lord?
If you're more
up. Now let me explain what friendship means. Friendship, I'm so glad God called me. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Because it's a power of God unto salvation, unto anyone that believes. Well, when you are sin in the world, you mix it up. When you mix it up, you don't want people to look at you and think you're one of those same individuals. So you blend in. That friendship is you blend in, and when the world looks at you, they don't know if you're saved or not saved. That's a friendship of the world.
Come about
because of his reluctant obedience, the children of Israel to this point are still fighting the Moabites and the Ammonites. But what happened if Abraham had been obedient? So Genesis chapter 13, are y'all still with me? Don't fit into the world. This is me. One day, every last one of us, whether you choose to or not, we're going to leave this place. And every last one of us is going to have to give an account to God for the things we've done in our lives. He said, not only do you have to give an account for things that people know, but if you read about it in Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, he said, all of those secret things, God's going to call up to it. And we're going to have to give an account for all of those things. Now, Timothy, Paul writes to Timothy, he said, now, if your sins have gone up beforehand, it is well with you. Hallelujah. But if your sins follow you up, you're in a whole lot of trouble. Amen. So anything that ain't right before God, you need to get it right now. Because all of us are going to spend eternity somewhere. Every last one of us is going to spend eternity somewhere. Only you can make that first decision. Well, I'm going to get this. Listen, don't use excuses. Love God for yourself. Serve God for yourself. Now, you know what the devil does? He said, listen, I'm going to test you. I'm going to use the closest thing to you to see how much you love God. They don't mean evil, but the devil is using them to see what is the real you. The closest thing to you, he'll use them to see, who do you love more, God or this individual? Love God. Amen. Genesis the 13th chapter. You're waiting for me to go through this quickly. We're going to conclude with the 14th verse. It says, and Abram went up out of Egypt. There was a famine, and Abram took his whole family down into Egypt. And God, listen, God already said, I'm going to bless you. Did he say, I'm going to bless you? So he blessed Abraham while he was in Egypt. Amen. And all that he had in Lot, again, he doesn't say Abraham and his family. He said, Abraham and his imperfect or reluctant obedience is with him. Who's that? Lot. Because Lot says separate. How long today has God told me it wasn't separate some stuff? But Lot, this is family. This is my blood. I can't separate from that. Who do you love more? God or an individual? God would have taken care of Lot. Amen. But Abraham thought that he had to do what God had to do. Make your stand for God. You don't have to do what God has to do. He knows his business. And guess what? Before any of us were born, he was taking care of his business. After we are dead, go, guess what? He'll still be taking care of his business. So verse 2 reads, and Abraham was very rich in cattle with him in the south. Abraham was very rich in cattle and silver and gold. And he went on his journey from the south to even to Bethel. Now let's just skip down for the sake of time. Let's get down to verse 5. It said, and why? He said, and why? Right? Why? Because he wasn't going to have a lot of this. But Abraham had reluctant obedience. Brothers and sisters, I don't care how long we get by. Eventually, the real truth will come out. So it did not matter for a little while. But then things begin to happen between Abraham and Lot. Why? Because eventually, when you don't obey God, I don't care who it is, the truth will come out. The Bible says, eventually your sins will find you out. And verse 6 says, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, that their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren. He said, is not the whole land before thee separated? But because of his disobedience, things had to get worse before they were separated. Brothers and sisters, visitors and friends, don't let this ourselves. Now let's just skip down to verse 14 for the sake of time. So Abraham eventually does what God tells him to do in the beginning. Because in the beginning he wouldn't obey God. He said, listen, I don't have a seed, so I got to bring this lot with me. Then it got to the point where Abraham said, listen, things aren't good. You know, I don't know if this is anybody's life, but things aren't good. We need to make a change. We need to do something. We need to separate. God already told you what to do in the beginning. But you thought you had a better idea for it. How many know four say he had a better idea? But they eventually had to separate. Well, this is what God does to Abram after they separate. Verse 14 reads, and the Lord said unto Abraham, God didn't tell him to what? After. He had what? After Abraham finally fully obeyed God. And he couldn't do it when Abraham was doing it this way. So God allowed him to go through difficulty situations and problems because he would not separate. Brothers and sisters, there's some stuff in our life God's been trying to separate us from, but we keep holding on to that, and the more we hold on to it, the worse it gets. So when
God told me to do this, but I'm just working on some stuff. You can't do what God has to do.
working on what God asked you to work on, but I'm going to give my life to God. I got to fix some stuff. He's a great fixer. You can't fix what God has to fix as we all stand. Reluctant obedience. Eventually, the real you will show up. Eventually, the real you will manifest itself. Today, I choose to be right before God. If I can encourage you to do anything, be right before God. Listen, don't worry about the threats from men or what people can do. Nobody can do anything to you if God be for you. For the scripture says, if God be for you, who then can be against you? God wants full obedience. And even if you try to, you know, a lot of times we like to connive and try to plan our way around God. You can't plan on your way around God. God wants full obedience of the day.